coming just very briefly, please, from the Book of Job. The Book of Job, which is the book immediately before the figure of the sun. Book of Job, from chapter 22. Job chapter 22. Verse number 21, but just the part of the verse. Job chapter 22 and verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. And the Lord will bless the reading of His Word. It might interest you to know that we have read, so far as I know, from the oldest book in our Bible. This book of Job is away back something like 3,500 years. And it is indeed a rather interesting thing that in our late day we can read from such an ancient book and find things that are right up to date. These are great principles that are unchanging. And we want to find the gospel this evening just very simply from this text that we have read. Now, it is of course a well-known fact that people forget a good deal of what the preacher says. I might be surprised or offended if you forget much of what I say. But I'm hoping that we have read so briefly that at least you'll be able to remember the Word of God. And if I keep quoting it, it is for the reason that it might get into our hearts and into our minds, and that when other things are forgotten, we shall remember the lovely text, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Now, I want to begin by having a little look at this word, peace. It's an interesting word. It's a very old word. It's almost an elusive word. It's something that people have been striving after, and yet it's something that seems to evade people. Peace. We think of it internationally. We think of it nationally even. We think of it domestically, industrially, economically, and it seems that in so many ways men have failed to find the peace that they have been looking for. Well, you might say, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm quite at peace tonight. I want to begin with a warning, and that is this. But if you were not saved just now, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if your sins are not forgiven, and still you are at peace, yours is a very, very dangerous situation. Far, far better, you see, if you were disturbed, if you were concerned, if you were not at peace. To be at peace with your sins not forgiven is a serious matter. And I hope that if indeed at this moment you are at peace with no concern about your soul and about eternity, I pray that God may disturb you in the meantime and that you might come to see that you do need a Savior. Some years ago I had an old friend who used to be in and out of hospital with an old war wound. And now and again I would go to see him when he was admitted to hospital. I went to see him this particular day, and as I went into the little ward, the nurse was actually dressing his wound. I hadn't seen it before. It was not a very pleasant sight, this open wound that had broken down again, and they were treating upon him. When I saw that the nurse was treating it, I apologized and excused myself and left the room. But I had seen this room. I left the room. I waited until the nurse was finished dressing the wound. When she came out, she said, all right, you can go in now. And I went in and I chatted with her for a little while. I said, how are you? He said, I'm fine. I said, what about the wound? Oh, he said, it's gone. I said, what about the pain? He said, I've no pain now at all. He said, not wonderful, no pain. And I thought, well, that's strange. I had seen the wound. I couldn't understand that he had such a wound and no pain. And after talking with him for a little while, I came out and I talked to the sister in charge. I said, tell me about Mr. Burns, my friend. I said, he tells me he has no pain anymore. No, she said, it's bad. It's bad. No pain. You mean to say, my friend, that you have a guilty past not forgiven? That you have sins not accounted for? That you're on your way to a long eternity that never ends? And you've no pain about it? No concern? This is a serious matter. I hope that you think seriously indeed tonight. And see that there is a peace, which is a groundless peace, and a very dangerous peace. The peace of someone whose sins are not forgiven is a dangerous thing. May God awaken you this evening, is our earnest prayer. But then, there is a true peace. And peace is a lovely word when you enter into the real truth of it. You see, our God is actually called the God of peace. And the Savior that we preach, he's called the Prince of Peace. And the gospel that we preach is actually called the gospel of peace. And you get a peace tonight. You see, I know that while there are some who are not concerned, there are others that are. And I may not know exactly where they are who are concerned this evening, but I would suppose that here or there, in this company, there must be someone afraid of eternity, afraid of dying, conscience disturbed, looking for salvation, looking for peace. To such an one this evening, our message is, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Now for the remaining minutes that I have, this is what I want to do. I want to tell you, perhaps, five things, just very simply, about the gospel of peace. And what I want to tell you, this is very important, first of all, is that the gospel of peace, there is a glory in it. And the glory of it is right here. It says, acquaint now thyself with him. That is the glory of our message, that we preach a person. Of course we've got doctrines. Of course we've got truths that we love to preach, we love to discuss, we love to expound. When a poor sinner is looking for salvation, the glory of our message is that we preach a person. And what we shall urge you to do tonight is to get to know the person. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. The woman after a meeting one evening, she wanted to talk with us. And in the course of the evening, I remember her saying, almost accusingly, these were her exact words. She said, you people talk as if there was a real living person that you had to get to know. Well, I said, that's nice that that has come through in the message, because that is exactly true. There is a real living person, and you've got to get to know him. Acquaint now thyself with him. and be at peace. Now, if I were to assume that there is someone here or there in the company, and you're coming to this absolutely new, maybe there's no one, maybe there is someone, and you don't know exactly who this person is, and you say to me, who is this person who is the glory of the message? Who is this him that we've got to get to know? Where would I begin to tell you about him? Take more than one meeting. Take more than two preachers. Take more than a week of meetings. Take a long time to tell you all that we know of him. And then when we finish, you have to say that the half is nothing to you. Who is he? Who is this man, this person, who is the very glory and the very heart of the gospel of peace? Who is this that we've got to get to know? I suppose that we need to begin by telling you to remember that he is none other than the very God of the heavens, the God of eternity. But that one wondrous, historic, memorable day, he became the baby of Bethlehem. And he lived as a boy in Nazareth, and he became a preacher in Galilee, and through Judea and Samaria. You would say, well, now, I think I've heard about him. A sinless man, a lovely man, who moved about in ministry but lived such a life that would actually condemn me. How do I get to know him? You see, he went on one dark day to become the man of Calvary. And he went to the cross, and this sinless man actually died as a sin bearer. He died as a substitute for guilty men. He died abandoned by God before he died. And as we said the other evening, this demands a question and an answer. How and why should a man without sin be abandoned by God because of sin? He's the sin bearer. Many of us say this evening, he died for me. My mother was a singer. I used to listen to her sing words like these. The sins were mine, his body bore. For me the cruel thorns he wore. O wondrous love and all for me. O Lord, I need myself to be. Here is a blessed man who has become the man of Calvary. And many of us this evening in this company, we have come to know him as our Savior in a personal way. We've acknowledged him as Lord. And we come to know him. But he's not only the man of Calvary. Yet the afternoon of the day that he died, they buried him. For 3 days he lay in the tomb. And on that third morning, he left the tomb, left it empty, left the evidence of a miracle behind him in the empty grave clothes, and 6 weeks after that, having shown himself alive, he went back up into the glory, into the heavens again, and tonight he's in the heavens, and we love to call him the man in the glory. So you say to me, who is this hymn of the text? Acquaint now thyself with him. Who is this? Who is he that we've got to get to know? What can I call him? What can I call him? God of glory, baby of Bethlehem, boy of Nazareth, preacher of Galilee, man of Calvary, man in the glory. Oh, I tell you, There is a really living Savior in the heavens tonight. And if you want peace, you've got to get the movement. That's the glory of our message. But there is another lovely thing about our message. That is the simplicity of it. Every gospel preacher must have this dread that he might complicate the message. Every gospel preacher must have this fear. Oh, I don't want to obscure the message. I don't want to make it difficult to understand. How do we keep it in all its lovely simplicity? And the simplicity of the gospel and the plan of salvation is this. It says simply, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. In other words, the Savior is there. Get to know him. And if you say, that's not so simple as it sounds. You see, there are many words that are used to try to make it simple for us. For instance, he says himself, come unto me. He says in another place, look unto me. You say, that's all right. If I had been here when he was on earth, and if I had heard him say, come unto me, I could have come. If I'd heard him say then, look unto me, I could have looked to him. But if he's in heaven and I'm on earth, how do I come? How do I look? How do I get to him? It's all a matter of simple faith. Simply believing. And I was saved when I was a boy. And I'm ever grateful, that the word brains is never found in Scripture. Did you know that? God's not interested in brains. He's interested in the hearts of men. And what he asks this evening is that in the heart you might believe, that you might trust him, that you might get to know Christ with a simple faith. Now the word that helped me as a boy was the word trust. Trust. After I was saved, I began to read the Scriptures, as most young Christians do. And I remember trying to read the Epistle to the Ephesians, and I couldn't understand it. And I was very discouraged when I got to the end of it. I heard them calling it the Mount Everest of Holy Scripture, and I thought that it would ever be too high for me. I wouldn't be able to scale its heights. I remember going back to the first chapter and beginning to read again. And this is what I found. Paul says, you remember, he says, when you first trusted? Oh, I thought to myself, these people came exactly the way I did. They trusted. Could you trust them this evening? There's someone in our meeting that would like you to say, could you trust the Savior? Could you trust him now? And I never think of the word trust. I have to tell the story of a little boy. One evening at the end of a series of meetings, and it was the last night, the last evening, a Friday evening, and these young parents came to me after the meeting, and they apologized. They said, well, do you mind speaking to our little boy? They said, he's wanted to wait to talk to you every evening, and we wouldn't allow him. We took him out. I said, you shouldn't have done that. They said, he's only 7. I said, that's all right. They said, tonight we can't get him out. He's holding onto the seat, and we can't get him out. He said, would you mind? I said, no, not at all. I wouldn't speak to him. It was a large hall, very large hall. And here's this little fair-haired fellow, of only 7, true enough, the last one in the building, and he's holding on to the seat. So I sat beside him. I said, "What can I tell you?" He said, "I want a movement of trust." And in my heart I said, "Lord, help me to explain to a little boy of 7 how to trust." I said, "Well, look, it's a bit like this. One day I'm walking down your road. I see you standing at the side of the road, and you're walking across. There's a lot of traffic, a lot of danger, and you're afraid." He said, "I see you looking every way, and you're afraid to move. I know that you want to cross." I said, "I go across to you. You know me. You know me." I say, I put down my hand and I say, "I'll take you across." I say, "You take my hand." I said, "We're not worried about the danger anymore. You see, there's much danger, but you're not worried about it. There's still as much traffic, but you're not concerned about it now. Why is that? You're trusting me. You know me. You know that I'll take you safely across." I said, "You're trusting me." And I waited to hear what he would say. And I remember every word. He's a big boy now. Not a little fellow anymore. He's a big boy now. I remember every word that little fellow said. He dropped his knee head for a little while. Then he looked right up at me, right into my eye. He said, "I put my hand into the hand of Jesus, and I trust him through the danger." I said, "You do." And he did it. And he's trusting me. Could you trust him tonight? Why can't you trust him? You know the kind of glorious person that he is. Why can't you trust him? Is there any reason, one reason why you cannot trust him with your soul tonight? Eternity's long. You need to be saved. He's the only Savior, but he is a Savior. Get to know him. Here's the simplicity of our message. Acquaint thyself with him. Get to know him. Whether you come, or look, or trust, or rest, I care not as long as you get to know him. Why don't you trust him right now? You say, "I wait to the end of the meeting." Why? Why can't you right now, this very moment, say, "I trust him. I'm a poor sinner. I can't do a thing for myself. I trust him, the man who is the glory of the message. I trust him in simplicity. I get him acquaint now myself with him." Now there's another thing about the plan of salvation. It's a big word, but you know what it means, I'm sure. There is not only a glory in it, and a simplicity in it, but there is an individuality in it. Listen to the text. "Acquaint now thyself." Thyself. With him and be at peace. How many people there are, and it's very sad, waiting for someone else to make the move first. It's an old story, you know. My dear brethren who are evangelists and who preach the gospel, they will tell you it's a thing they meet again and again and again. Here's a boy, and he's waiting for a companion. He would get saved, I might get saved. Here's a wife, waiting for her husband. There's a girl waiting for a colleague. Look, my friend, I urge you this evening that in this matter you've got to be certain. And don't forget this. You see that colleague for whom you are waiting? He might be waiting for you. And if you were to make the move this evening, who knows but he might trust the Savior to you. But it is an individual, personal matter that you should get to Christ. Be kind to your own soul. Be careful about it. Eternity doesn't end. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. No word of warning. There is not only a glory in it, and a simplicity in it, and an individuality in it. It is an urgency, acquaint now, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Not tomorrow. Not even later tonight. Not next week. Not next year. There is an urgency. Acquaint now. We had a sad story in our province some years ago. A youth, boy, perhaps 19, child of Christian parents, who had often been prayed for, but who had become rebellious against the gospel, and was now refusing to come to hear him, and refusing to listen to the entreaties of his prayers, especially his mother. I want you to listen to this very carefully. His mother pleaded with him one evening to come to the meeting. And he laughed at her. He said, "I've no time for that just now." He said, "Look," he said, "maybe when I'm dying I'll think about it. Maybe when I'm dying I'll think about it." He put on his crash helmet. He got on his motorcycle. And he left the mother very sad. They tell me it was hardly 20 minutes later, and the policeman came to me. He said, "That's sad news." And he broke to this mother the news of the death of her son. And then this was the heart-rending thing. He said, "If it's any comfort to you, you haven't time, you see." And you're going to think about it later, aren't you? And it was very good. It was an urgency. Tomorrow, you will grant me and claim it now, myself with him. There's a glory in it, the simplicity in it, an individuality, an urgency. And I leave you with this. There is a certainty with it. Notice what it does not say. It does not say, acquaint now thyself with him and hope for peace. No, no, no. Acquaint now thyself with him and wait for peace. No, no, no. Acquaint now thyself with him and then make your peace. Not at all. No, no. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Here is the certainty of our gospel, the assurance of it, that you could be at peace this very moment by trusting the Savior. That is the certainty of it. And could we not quote verse after verse after verse just to give you that assurance and believe, though I didn't choose a hymn, we have sung tonight that lovely word, verily, 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 and it means truly, truly, certainly, certainly. And there is a certainty about our message that if you were to get to know the Savior, you would be at peace. Now, what would that mean? It would mean this, my friend. Put your head upon the pillow this evening, and come what may, you could sing, it is well with my soul. Eternity, long eternity, a wheel of hell, a lake of fire, a judgment of God, fearful wrath ahead, and to think that you could put your head upon your pillow tonight and be at peace. Just be calm. You come to know the Savior. Look, my dear friend, he died for you. He died for you. Christians are praying. We'd love to see you saved tonight. May God help you. Acquaint now thyself to him. And be sincerely, we say.